This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
I'm your big daddy, and I want to be referred to as such.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
It's not fair.
I'm an Andrew Gunling fan.
Just take the L.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's Andrew Gunling.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt.
ENN.
Andrew Gunling in for Peter Rosenberg, who is en route right now to Orlando. A beautiful Friday here in New York. Big sports Friday. Lots of sports coming up this weekend. Michael, how are you?
The Milster.
And Don, how are you?
Get me help.
Let's get right into it now. Michael, what you mentioned earlier, Yankees and Mets were supposed to be beginning the Subway Series tonight in Queens, but that is not happening as two members of the Mets have tested positive for the coronavirus, one player and one staff member. So the series has been called off altogether or postponed for the weekend. Any idea when this could get made up?
Well, they have a like-off day on Monday and then one later in September, but it's right in the middle of a long stretch of games where the Yankees probably wouldn't want to play. So in all likelihood, after missing these 3 days and having 3 days off, the Yankees didn't work out today. They might work out Saturday and Sunday. The Mets won't work out at all. They could play the doubleheader on Monday during the off day. Or if they don't and the Mets still aren't cleared, then you run into a situation. Would you dare play three doubleheaders in a row at Yankee Stadium, because the Mets are at Yankee Stadium for a three-game set next weekend? But I believe that Monday is probably the greatest possibility if everything continues to trend positively with the Mets.
The doubleheaders, if they play just like a huge number of doubleheaders now, does that hurt them? I mean, their bullpen is such an advantage, and in a seven-inning game, it kind of neutralizes bullpens. I would imagine they'd be a team that would prefer to play only nine-inning games.
Who, the Yankees or the Mets?
The Yankees.
Their bullpen's a little short now without Britton and without Canely, so maybe they wouldn't mind seven-inning games on Monday, but I don't think they'd want to deal with three straight doubleheaders next week. So if they played a doubleheader on Monday, then they could just play one doubleheader next weekend. I think they would prefer that. Three doubleheaders destroys any team's pitching staff. You have to have two starters each day, and then you have to somehow work your bullpen. Now, you're saved two innings a game, but it's still a lot on the bullpen.
Let's see some other Yankee news. None of it good. James Paxton diagnosed with a flexor strain, so he is going to the IL. Also, Gleyber Torres going to the IL with a grade one quad and hamstring strain. So I have something here. And there are a few blanks in it that are missing, but I wanted to see if I could actually put together a World Series caliber team with players that the Yankees currently have on their injured list.
Should be easy.
So catching is Kyle Higashioka. Not a great start, but it gets better. DJ LeMahieu at second, Gleyber at short, Judge in right, Stanton in left. You got Severino and Paxton as starters. You've got Canely in the bullpen. You've got Zach Britton as your closer. So we're missing first base, third base, and center field. But that team is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's loaded. And that's why I don't think that the team as presently constituted, which will not be the case anyway, but this team that we see right now would not advance in the playoffs. As good as the players are, they're not the team that they put together. And that's not knocking this. And I just don't think – I think that 2 years in a row of doing this will be too much. I think they'll be competitive against a good Rays team. They had a hard time, but I think that they can be competitive. They will not be dominant. I don't think they'll be able to beat the best teams with this squad right now. But you got to cross your fingers at the Yankees and hope that you get your injured players back. But remember, you're going to get them back. There's only 35 games left in the season. You get them back, and then you want them to get into a groove and be able to hitting the way they are and pitching the way they're supposed to. The clock is ticking. I mean, it's a very small window for them to get ready.
And also, if the injuries continue to be a problem, well, who's next? So that's 5 weeks of no one else getting hurt.
Yep.
Well, when has that happened recently? We've gone 5 weeks with somebody else not getting hurt.
Well, right now, I mean, you really have to cross your fingers about Gary Sanchez, because your backup is Eric Kratz. And, I mean, they don't have an established catcher at the alternate site. They've got a young catcher, but they don't have an established catcher. So Sanchez has to stay healthy. Eric Kratz is he's a great guy, and he does a good job filling in, but he's a 40-year-old catcher. So that would be a hard one to absorb. They've got to keep Sanchez healthy.
Also, more Yankee news. They traded relief pitcher David Hale to the Phillies today for minor league reliever Addison Russ. I'll say this about Hale. He pretty much immediately becomes the Phillies' best reliever now. I was looking at it. The teams ranked 27th through 29th in bullpen ERA have ERAs of 6.08, 6.16, and 6.17. So that's kind of what we're talking about with like the bottom of baseball with bullpens. And then you jump to the Phillies, who are 30th in bullpen ERA, who have an ERA of 8.07. It's not close how bad they are.
No, they're awful.
I was looking at it in comparison to last year. Like the Orioles bullpen last year was a disaster, and they were 5.79 ERA. Like the Phillies are almost double as bad as what the Orioles were. It's pretty amazing.
And didn't one of their players yesterday get hit in a very private part? One of their relievers had to be carted off?
Jose Alvarez was put on the injured list today with a testicular contusion. I'll just leave that there for everyone to think about.
But blowing a 7-run lead also hurts.
I think that hurts more than a 7-run lead.
Yeah, you have to ask Andrew. But, you know, to score 7 runs in the top of the first inning and lose.
Yep.
And
yep,
I also heard they're sniffing around the Red Sox are going to have a fire sale. Remember, the trade deadline is August 31st. So they're sniffing around the Red Sox with Brandon Workman. They have a manager whose, I think, area of expertise is handling a bullpen, and he can't even fix this.
Well, that's the problem. They should be sniffing around everybody's bullpens because their lineup is really good. Their starting pitching has been very good. It's just this bullpen that is going to undo whatever good that they're doing elsewhere on this team. And it's
and I don't understand how you put a team together that has a very high payroll, and you could have just been this cavalier about putting together a bullpen and just like hoping that it would work out. Hope's a really bad plan.
And it's failing. It's failing. It's going to undo their whole season.
But real quick, I was just kind of like throughout the show, kind of just seeing how far back the Yankee injuries go. I'm seeing an article from August 23rd, right? 2018. Montgomery already out Tommy John surgery. Gleyber Torres missed 16 games. Masahiro Tanaka missed 5 starts. Gary Sanchez battled a myriad of injuries, and Didi was just placed on the 10-day DL. And that's 3 years.
That's not what
ago.
You want.
Like that's 3 seasons ago. So this has gone beyond even Aaron Boone.
Has he used that yet in Philly?
I haven't heard it, but I've spread it to my friends. So in our group text, whenever something bad happens in a Phillies game, somebody sends a meme of Girardi saying that. So it's taking off. But I have not. I don't know if I've heard him say it yet in a press conference.
Well, if he didn't say it yesterday, he's never going to say it again.
No, that's true.
He probably knows people make fun of it, so he's going to stop.
Oh, he's become too aware of his.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's see. NBA playoff, a bunch of game threes today. Not a good one for the Nets. They've now fallen into an 0-3 hole. Michael was right. It's been very difficult for Brooklyn. They lost 117-92. Siakam, Van Vliet, Ibaka all had 20 or more for the Raptors. The Nets were 16 of 51 from three.
That's not good.
No, and they were minus 14 in rebounding. Also not good. And that's pretty much what happens when you lose 117-92.
Now, I'd like to pound my chest and hang on the rim, but they would have put a much better effort today if Joe Harris was there.
Well, especially if threes were the game plan.
Right. I mean, you lose Joe Harris, that's a big blow. He's one of the best players on the team right now.
They lost by 25, though. I mean,
Harris is worth at least 28 points.
So you think that actually Joe Harris, with Joe Harris on the court, they win today?
No, but it would be closer.
I don't know. I think you're selling Toronto short.
No, but, I'm the one who predicted it. So well, I'll hang on the rim. I'll let out a yell.
Well, this is very poor hanging on the rim. I feel like you're arguing with yourself now.
I'm not good at hanging on the rim. I'm very shy.
Right now, another blowout going on as we speak. I haven't seen it lately, but at the start of the fourth quarter, the Jazz were up by 30 or 32 on the Nuggets. So
making beautiful music.
Yeah, so they're about to go up 2-1 in that series. Coming up in about 15 to 20 minutes or so. It'll be game three of the Sixers and Celtics. Boston up 2-0 in that series.
11 minutes left, 98. Oh, just updated. 7 minutes left, 105-70.
Good add another bucket. They're up 37 now, Don.
Oh, my God. Let's
not
see.
What you want.
No, it's not what you want. A couple other NBA notes. The league had been hoping to begin next season on December 1st, but that start date has now been thrown into doubt as Adam Silver said he would rather delay the start of the season with the hopes of being able to get fans back into arenas with a later start date.
But, see, wait a minute. You know, I understand you want to wait maybe because how exhausted the teams that make it to the conference final and NBA finals are going to be, which is basically 5 weeks of rest. But do you think things are going to change in a month? Like, well, we won't be able to get fans in on December 1st, but December 25th we should be able to.
I've heard that this is a plan that's being bandied about, okay?
Okay.
First time I'm actually telling you that they might bubble for the first 2 months. And then think that by January, the end of January, that the world will be closer to normal.
All right.
Because there's no way the players are going to bubble for the whole season. They're just not.
Well, they should take a cue from the NHL. Like, if they're going to do that, they bubbled in Orlando successfully so far. So all you need to do is find another place to bubble, and then you're good. Because they had 22 teams in one bubble. So to expand it out to 30 teams, you could probably just find one other place to bubble. And I think,
but
the
then
NHL
you could have that. You could have
thing.
A bastardized schedule. The East can only play the East. The West can only play the West.
You're going to have to figure something out, Michael. But I think that's the best way to make it happen. Otherwise, the NBA and the NHL are going to face the same dilemma in December that baseball and football are facing now. Right. I mean, so you already know the structure of the bubble. So if it means kind of making a different schedule, shouldn't you do that?
You would think.
I mean, what does the schedule mean anyway? I mean, if you're not going to have fans in the building, does it really matter how many times a team has LeBron James come to their building? That's usually why you have a schedule where you play everybody, because people get upset when you don't play Los Angeles and LeBron James doesn't come to town. But if you don't have fans, and in the first half of the schedule, you play in conference only. And then in the second half, if you open it up to fans, then you can kind of change the schedule around. But I think that's what you got to do.
You're right. Like, they can't allow a rigidness to sticking to the schedule be what prevents them from doing this the right way. I think you're right about that.
Yeah, so put the Eastern Conference in Orlando, find a Western Conference bubble, and say this is what we're going to do for the first 2 months of the season, and we'll act accordingly and as we get deeper in. If there's a vaccine, if we can open up the fans, then you can kind of return. And then we'll revamp the schedule from there. And that should be easy enough to do. There's got to be some other place like Orlando.
You know, with the NBA, seemingly it's going to be later than December 1st. Hockey is going to be later than we thought.
Well, hockey wants December 4th. So they're thinking about the first week of December, too.
So if football doesn't work out, and I mentioned this earlier, we're in the dark hole again when it comes to sports.
Yep.
There's nothing.
Well, even
baseball will be over at the end of October. You're going to have a dark November if football can't go. And I think football is going to go, so I don't want anybody to like freak out. I believe football will go.
But even if football goes, right, when the NBA finals are when? They can go to what, October 13th, right, Andrew? Because I think the finals begin September 30th.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And I think the NHL will be done before October. So I think they'll be done by the end of September. So you're looking at most of October and all of November and possibly the first couple of weeks of December with only football,
yep.
Which is fine. But from a game standpoint, you know, you've only got the one game a week. You know
what that means, Don, right? The list come back.
No, listen, we just had a wake yesterday.
No, you know what? You can dig that baby up. Dig it up.
No, we cremated.
No. And last one standing will be standing again.
Listen to the fake enthusiasm in Michael's voice.
See, that's it, Michael.
That's
see, that's
real.
No, we're gonna lift the curtain. I hope Andrew's comfortable with this.
Oh no.
That it's all just because of your interest level. I killed it because I know you're not all in. And it sickens me. It sickens me.
It's not
it's
my
fun.
Interest level, but let's lift the curtain all the way up. I said there's too much sports now to commit a half hour each day to something that we installed in the show to fill out 4 hours when there was nothing going on. So I think that we could still have it at special times. Maybe
there is
once
no
a week.
Reason.
You guys want it every
I'll
day.
Tell you what. Do you want to be embarrassed? Do you want to be embarrassed? All right, we're both going on vacation, so we can suck it up. RJ, run it up the pole. Could we have done a top five every day? Would you have wanted a top five every day? Yes or no? You're gonna be shocked. Yes is gonna win overwhelmingly. I get it with the trivia. Because let's face it, Peter, you know, he enjoys being the game show host a little too much. It took like 10 minutes to get started. I felt like the 75 Galaxy I had when I was in high school. It took like a half hour to warm up. But
is that the one that got pulled over because your friends were smoking pot?
No, I was in my mom's Dodge Aspen.
Oh, great. So you get her in trouble as an accomplice.
Let's see. Quickly here, just a note.
Run it up the pole.
Don is right. That will probably, I think it's going to win in a landslide. And Don, you can be happy about this too. Damian Lillard dislocated his finger last night. He said he was going to play, and then Terry Stotts confirmed today that he will play in game three. So you can breathe easy. All basketball fans can breathe easy because he's been probably the most fun player to watch.
Hey, that game's on ABC. That game's on ABC tomorrow.
You're a big fan of the Trailblazers, right, Don?
That's right.
Any reason why?
I'll never tell, unless.
Well, you might.
I'm just trying to say that I control the narrative, Andrew. So I'll do what I want to do. But I did say that if it goes seven, I'll reveal. I did say that.
Ooh, semantics. I like it. Let's see. The other day,
excited Andrew. Love excited Andrew.
So the other day it was Tom Brenneman. And today it's Mike Milbury. I'm reading here from Emily Kaplan's story at ESPN.com. She says, the NHL condemned what it called insensitive and insulting comments that analyst Mike Milbury made about women during an NBC broadcast on Thursday night, saying they did not reflect the league's value and commitment to making our game more inclusive and welcoming to all. Milbury and analyst Brian Boucher were discussing the benefits of the NHL's playoff bubble during the broadcast of the Islanders' series-clinching win over the Capitals. Here's what we have audio of it. I don't know if it's 100% clear, but hopefully you can tell. Here's what Milbury said on the broadcast.
If you enjoy playing and enjoy being with your teammates for long periods of time, it's a perfect place. Not even any woman here to disrupt their concentration.
Listen, I am not going to defend Mike Milbury, okay? But I've got to be honest. Very big people in our company said the exact same thing when they were talking about bubbling the NBA. The exact same thing. That's not a shot at women. He's saying that players would be distracted by maybe having extracurricular activity. That's what he's saying. He's not denigrating women. And again, people in our company have said the exact same thing. I just think that Milbury's not that well liked.
Well, there's a couple of things at play here, Michael. First of all, you're talking about there's all men in the NHL.
Right.
Right? So if you're talking about getting into what he was suggesting, then you're probably going to be talking about women, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I guess women were singled out in the conversation. You're so right. Not just this company. It's been suggested everywhere about one of the issues is going to be that they are going to be away from their families and they're going to be away from their girlfriends and they're going to be away from the things that young people do.
There's a young player in the Seahawks that got released because he was sneaking a woman into his room.
However, if it's said on a talk show, you know, that's one thing. People are entitled to their opinions. It's being said on an NHL broadcast. So it's a little bit. Listen, we can defend his right to say it. We can defend, is it really that insulting? But you got to admit that the place in which it was done was not the right place. And the NHL has to scold him because it was during an NHL broadcast. That's not where you want to kind of suggest those things. And I would think the same thing would happen to
Jeff Van Gundy if he said it during a game.
If Jeff Van Gundy said it on our show, it's nothing. We'd laugh and we'd say, yeah, that's going to be an issue. But if Jeff Van Gundy said it during the broadcast with Jackson and Breen, guess what? He'd probably be scolded by the NBA. Same thing with Milbury. Milbury is also not very well-liked, and a lot of people get upset by the things that he says. He's had a history of saying things. I think that's one of the reasons he has the job in the first place. But you can't say it during a broadcast of an NHL game, and the NHL, I think, did the right thing.
And Milbury, he has been scolded. He was taken off tonight's Flyers-Canadians game. He said in an apology, it was not my intention to disrespect anyone. I was trying to be irreverent and took it a step too far. It was a regrettable mistake that I take seriously.
You know, I understand the apology, but again, I don't like to parse out apologies. And like, of course it wasn't your intent. If it was your intent, then you have to have your head examined. And when you make a living with words, you better nail it when you're trying to be irreverent and not say something that offends people. And I mean, you got to let people up, I guess. But I grew up with a dad who said, sorry doesn't fix the lamp. So even Tom Brenneman said it in his apology, I make a living with words. If you can't control the words that come out of your mouth, then maybe you're in the wrong business.
But I think the mistake he made was like, that's probably not where you should say it. Because, again, right. If Milbury was a guest on this show and said it, Michael, and the NHL heard it, I'm not sure the NHL would have a problem with it.
You're right.
But during the broadcast was wrong, and he's a big boy. He should know that. He apologized. But, you know, and you take him off the game because it's fresh, you know, but will he be out? Is he going to leave the bubble? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll see.
While we're talking about some uncomfortable moments that have come from national broadcasts, so this came from last night's Blazers-Lakers game. This is far different. This is more basketball-related. So last night on the broadcast, Mark Jackson was talking about how much Carmelo Anthony's defense has improved. Here's the audio of that.
People killed Carmelo Anthony in the past for his defense and whatever. They were wrong. This guy is picking up LeBron James full court. He's overmatched.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree that they were wrong. This is a change. This is different. This is putting more into the defense. Maybe before he didn't play as hard defensively.
Okay, I'll tell you this. Then there's a shared responsibility for whoever allowed that defense to be played, because for some reason he is bought in with this culture and he's committed to it.
So that comment was heard by one of Carmelo Anthony's former coaches, George Karl, who assumed that it was about him. He went to Twitter and teed off on Mark Jackson, and he said this. He said, I heard at Mark Jackson 13 is taking shots at my defensive coaching during tonight's broadcast. Remind me, how many all-star teams did you coach, Mark? How many defensive player of the years? How many finals appearances? How many of my teams became dynasties right after I left?
That was hard. That was tough.
Right, referencing how good the Warriors became after Mark was let go. A pretty scathing attack. And then Jackson, after the game, I guess, saw the tweet, tweeted back. He said, I wasn't even thinking of you. By the way, I never lost you in the playoffs as a player or as a coach. God bless you and yours. And I thought Mark Jackson's response was perfect, because when I heard it, I wasn't even really thinking George Karl either. I was kind of thinking, and I feel bad saying this because he's a really good coach, but I was kind of thinking Mike D'Antoni.
That's
because he's just not really known as a guy who coaches defense.
That's
Karl just like went off on that
sensitive
comment.
Much. Obviously, he
was. But I mean, Carmelo played under George Karl with Denver, so I mean, you got to look at the whole body of work. You say he's never been taught that, so he just took that leap. And maybe Don's right, sensitive much, but that's part of his resume, a big part.
Yeah, I guess so, but I don't know. For me, the thing with Carmelo's defense, because he has, I mean, just watching him, he's taken it up a level for sure.
He's also thinner.
But I don't even think, like, I don't think this is a coaching issue. I think it's a Melo issue. He never wanted to play defense before. He was a scorer, and that was where he was going to put all of his energy. Now he's not. Like, he's willing now to be that 3-and-D role player. So maybe he always had it in him, but it just, like, it was never a part of his game that he was willing to unleash. It was not where he was going to apply energy. Now that's what his role is, and he's finally come around to embracing sort of that role player mentality that just was never him in the past. He's always scoffed at that. So I don't know if there's any coach. If Phil Jackson was his coach, I don't think he would have gotten defense out of Melo. That just wasn't who he was, and now that's his game now.
I love exchanges like that, though. But I love the Scud missile that Mark throws at him and then says, God bless. So does that erase the nastiness?
No, that is anytime I see that, I always read that with a condescending tone.
He's a very, very, very pious religious person. So I'm talking about Mark. I don't know about George.
Well, I don't always read the God bless with like a genuine attitude. I think it's, I don't know. That's just how I take it. And then last one here, this was the story that Don sent me, as a matter of fact.
Oh, let's see.
So it's a little off the beaten path,
yeah,
but that's all right. So Drew Barrymore confirmed today that her grandfather's corpse was stolen by some of his friends for one last party. This is from People.com, I guess a website that Don frequents.
And this is how the script for Weekend at Bernie's happened.
So that is addressed. So they say here, while making a virtual appearance on the hit YouTube series Hot Ones, the Drew Barrymore show host set the record straight about the longstanding rumor. I guess this had been a rumor. She was asked, is it true that your grandfather's body was stolen from the morgue by W.C. Fields, Errol Flynn, Sadakichi Hartman, so that they could prop him up against a poker table and throw one last party with the guy? And Drew Barrymore said, not only yes, but there have been cinematic interpretations of that. A Blake Edwards film called SOB, that's just brilliant and fun to watch. However, even Barrymore isn't sure if the tale also inspired Weekend at Bernie's. She said, I've heard things, but I can't know ever if that's even true.
And this is Lionel Barrymore, right?
Yes.
Wow.
And she even suggested, I believe, that she wants the same thing done to her.
Yeah, she did say that. She said it would probably be fun. So there you go. Thank you for that
story. I don't think she'll have any idea if it's fun, and I don't know how it's fun to have a rotting corpse hanging around.
Wait a minute.
I mean, it's ghoulish.
They didn't dig him up.
No.
Right?
But he's still a rotting corpse. The second your heart stops, you're a rotting corpse.
Yeah, but I don't think it becomes an issue for a few days.
So you want us to do that to you if I'm
still
alive?
Yeah, have at it. I think it'd be great. I mean, I'm not there. It's not going to bother me any.
I'm going to take you to a Yankee game just so it annoys you.
I just think, I want you guys to remember me. And if you care that much about me and miss me that much that you would do that, I think that'd be cool.
But
I don't know what stage. Was he already embalmed? And if that's the case, then you got nothing to worry about.
And was he clothed or was he naked?
Oh, my God. I'm sure they took him out of the funeral parlor, I think, is the way. Or the morgue.
The morgue, yeah. No, Michael's right. Ghoulish is the right word, Michael. It is. It's weird and it's creepy. And no, I'm not.
I keep thinking. You guys ever see the movie Scrooged?
Sure.
So when the guy's dead and Bill Murray runs into him and like a mouse runs out of his eye socket, that's what I'm thinking.
But that's not what they were doing. They didn't dig him up on his like 10th anniversary of his death. He was in the morgue. He had just died.
I think there's a problem.
I'm sure they were
W.C. Fields. He should have been arrested.
W.C. Fields. They were destroyed. I think it's. Listen, I wouldn't do it, but it's a. Tell me that's not a cool story.
You wouldn't do it, but you want us to do it to you.
Lionel Barrymore died like 70 years ago, and they're still talking about it. They made movies. It's a great story. Again, I'm not doing it, but come on, Michael, that you'd live forever. If your body was stolen, if we did that, one last show, Michael, that's what we'll do. One last show.
Wow.
Michael, did you just call for W.C. Fields to be arrested?
Yes. posthumously arrested.
Oh, man. Well, thank you for that story, Don. And that is ENN for this Friday.
Now, if we did one last show, Andrew, and we stole Michael from the morgue, propped him up there in the studio and did one last show, we would still have to do the Yankees lineup.
How about you doing the last show and it's televised on Yes, right? And I'm dead. Yeah. And, you know, there's children that watch the show. And all of a sudden, a mouse runs out of my eye socket.
Well, again, when are we taking you? Well, a mouse automatically jumps in you like the second you die?
I don't know.
Have you ever gone to a wake? So I guess what your issue, like when you go to wakes, are you like looking at the body to see if a mouse runs out?
No, because they seal the eye shut at a wake.
Because of a mouse possibly running out? No, nobody wants to look at a corpse with its eyes open.
Right.
So, Mike, I don't even know if I want to say what I'm... So, Michael believes that there's like a mouse clawing at the inside.
No, but I mean, if it's lying around, we don't have any idea how long that was.
It was in the morgue. How long do you think they keep the body in the morgue? It was refrigerated. It was fine.
Oh, now you're an expert. No, 80 years ago, they were refrigerating bodies.
I think it's morbid. I think it's awful that we even do those things. Lay a body out in a room and gawk at it for a day. It's ridiculous. My father had it right. Put him in the garbage bag, take him out for the trash.
Oh,
that's what my father said. Don't go through all this trouble, all this money that's wasted, so you sit there and gawk at a body. I'm Russian Orthodox. on my mom's side, and they believe that you gotta lay somebody out for 3 days. It's torture for families. So
Jewish
I know that I've gone the wakes where they're out there for 3 days. Believe me, still 3 days later, I wasn't worried about a mouse running out of its eyes.
I saw that in Scrooged, and it stayed with me. All right.
First of all, that's not a true. It's not based on a true story.
It's a documentary. Don't you realize
but
that?
But he had died decades before. Yeah, so if they're digging, you know what, on the 10th anniversary of your death, Mike, if we dig you up, I'm going to be very concerned about a rotting corpse and a mouse running out of your eyes. The next day? I don't think so.
There's
unless
no
it was a mouse residing
in
there
in the funeral
beforehand.
Are you done with Ian, Andrew?
Yeah, that was it. That's it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.